Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast. I'm Justin, your host. And if this is your first time joining, I just want to say thank you first and foremost for becoming a part of this community. As always, just a brief background and a brief little bit of context about what this is, what this platform is, what this community is. So about 2.5 years ago, this whole thing started as a way to reinvent the art education system for most people. And by most people, I'm specifically referring to those who were looking for a different type of art education, a type of art education that wasn't necessarily transactional, one that didn't focus specifically on how to get 2% more on your salary at a job you don't like, or to fit into some customary job description or job title that is just a sign of the times and not necessarily anything you can move with and align your purpose to. So instead, what we focused on for the past 2.5 years is delivering over 170 hours of interviews, of monologues, to over 26 to 27,000 people across the world. Last time I checked, there are roughly 15 different countries that are currently listening to this, and I really appreciate each and every one of you around the world who are paying attention or taking time out of your day, out of your night, and any time in between. As you know, if you've been listening, and even if you're new, just a quick reminder as to how we actually structure this thing. There are three core pillars that we align our messaging to, the first of which has to do with the mind. So what is the mindset of an artist? Like, what is the mindset of a craftsperson? What should that be? What should that look like? How do you deal with doubt? How do you deal with self-confidence issues? And that aligns the basis, serves as the baseline for our next segment, which is called Work Study. The first I mentioned is Incomplete Thoughts. The second is Work Studies, focus on the tactics, tools, and templates to get you through the day. And then last but not least, we have our Well-Read segment, which is comprised of a series of dialogues and monologues specific to how to practice your craft professionally. So basically how to make money and what that looks like on a day-to-day basis from people you can be inspired by without feeling like you're losing your soul. All right, so that's a mouthful. I appreciate you sticking with me for the past two minutes or so. One more thing before we actually get into it. If you are into email, if you're into email, if you like reading email, I don't know who you might be, but the purpose behind email is to deliver long form content. And at this point, many, many, many people are subscribed to our email newsletter. They get at least a monthly recap every single month. Of what's been going on specific to the community, the organization, Educated Guests as a whole, and what partnerships we've done, what announcements we have, and what's on tap for the next month. Gotten a lot of feedback in a good and a positive way about those. They're not a waste of time, as pretty much every reply I get to it always tells me. And it's a time to hear directly from me. A lot goes into making what we've made over the past 2.5 years. And it'll continue to be a team effort, a collective effort, a community-wide effort. But you'll hear directly from me some of my thoughts about what's going on and perhaps a little bit more direct to some things that you have going on in your life. So if you're interested in that, any of it sounds good to you, then you can go to educated-guest.com, educated-guest.com. So without further ado, let's go ahead and hop into it today. Specifically, today, as you might have already read as you clicked on this particular lecture, we're talking about this concept of a full body yes. Full body yes. I only have really two quick thoughts on this, but I want to tell a story about how I even arrived to this idea. The idea of the full body yes really stems from a person named Martha Beck. And I first came across the work of Martha Beck. When I was doing some reading and just kind of looking around, it turns out she is Oprah's life coach. And, you know, when you consider anything to do with mindset training, anything to do with high performance and high performance as it relates to a craft like journalism or content creation or storytelling, anyone that's training the masterful, mind of an expert like Oprah is someone worth paying attention to in my eyes. You know, that sort of top-down learning is key. So the first thing that I want to think about in this context is that as she coaches Oprah, you can just imagine, what would you have to tell Oprah? What would you have to tell someone of that stature? What would you have to tell a billionaire that she or he doesn't already know? And I always think about in history, I'm curious about the need for great leaders and great people that we remember to say no. If you take 5 seconds to just think about your biggest hero in your career path. So if you're a creative technologist, you probably have 3 or 4 or 5 names that come to mind. If you are an architect, 3 or 4 or 5 names. If you're an industrial designer, 3 or 4 or 5 names. If you are an urban planner, 3 or 4 or 5 names. Now, out of those 3 to 5 names, take a moment, if you care to, then take a moment and think about at least 3 things they probably had to say no to in order for you to even know their name. Think about 3 roadblocks they might have gone through, 3 roadblocks they might have run across, 3 obstructions, 3 points of friction that you at least know about as a bystander, or maybe someone close to them that you know specifically they had to go through. Now, as you think about those 3, think about how minuscule those 3 things are in the grand scheme of the full life. Take a moment, do me a favor, and just think about those 3 things that you immediately thought of as obstructions and how they compare to the grand scheme of life as we understand it. So if you took this moment and you're serious about doing this and you're riding in the car and you're like, what is this guy talking about? I don't know what this is about. Then this whole thing just might not be for you. And that's okay. There's plenty of other people to listen to, and there's plenty of other platforms. But if you're anything like me, then you taking that 5 seconds, 10 seconds to think about obstructions that other great people you admire, you respect, you look up to have encountered, and you take a second and you remember those 3 things and you think about, wow, those are only 3 minuscule things out of the 60 years of life this person lived, or the 70 years of life, or the 25 years of life, or the 38 years of life that that person I admire and I respect lived or is currently living. Now, if you thought about that and you were sort of taken aback by that truth, then you probably subconsciously realized how many of those moments are in your life day to day, day by day, day by day. Every day is a decision. Every day you choose to be a little bit closer to your purpose. And every day you could consciously and subconsciously choose to run away from it. Very simple stuff here. I don't want to overcomplicate things. This is just the shot of caffeine of confidence that you needed for the day, the shot of energy that you needed for the day, because half the things that you go through on a daily basis, you know what the answers are. You know what you need to do. You know, for all the women and men listening across the world, there was this one time that I heard the best definition of manhood, and I think it's particularly important for both manhood and womanhood, just being a good human being. But this person was specifically asked about what it means to be a man. And the guy responded, and if you've seen this clip, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, then when you run across it, you'll think of this. So the guy responded, and when he's asked, like, hey, what does it mean to be a man? And he said, very simply, a man does what he's supposed to do. And we all know what we're supposed to do. So go do it. That was all he said. And there's many other quotes and many other ideas around this. You can think of it backwards, forwards, sideways, north by northwest, south by southwest. You can think any of these things. At the end of the day, a quote I'm reminded of is, the body truth goes ahead of the mind lie. So when we're back and forth over a decision, it's our intellect, it's our cortex, trying to get the upper hand on us and tell us that, you know, hey, before you actually do these things and before you say yes to something, before you move into a purpose, before you move into something, you should probably double check or triple check or be okay and keep your options open. Like keep your mind, there's nothing more disrespectful in my opinion than keep your options open. Backup plan, plan B. How about you reinforce plan A? How about that? So there's a lot of these questions that have to do with things that have affected us in childhood or affected us in young adulthood and our developmental stages at a psychoanalytic level. And they usually have to do with doubt. We're born free. We're born courageous. We're born fearless. And we're introduced to doubt. We're taught doubt. We're taught scarcity. We're taught skepticism. We're taught second guessing. We're taught safety. We're taught comfort. All these things are learned behaviors. The true behavior is confidence. The true behavior is love. The true behavior is creation. Those things are true. So anytime someone is, you know, that inner voice that you don't even have to hear from anyone else, anytime someone says this out loud, it's just a reinforcement of something that background noise is already playing, that speaker that's already playing. And fortunately, our bodies patiently, you know, persist in telling the truth. They tell us what is true. You know, I've talked about this before in 30 or 40 lectures ago, but when you find one about routine, I forget exactly which number it is, but go check it out. When you find one regarding the routine that you can set as an artist or designer, it's one of my favorite lectures that I've given, because I think it's so detailed and scientifically backed as well. But in that episode, in that lecture, we talk about the idea of your different brain states, how your brain moves from theta state to alpha state to beta state, all those different states, and what's actually happening inside your body, your mind, your spirit when those things are going on. And specifically why I'm bringing that up is that your brain, and if you go listen to that, if you have listened to that, you will learn that your brain is pretty much running on autopilot for 80% of the day. You know, there's only a slight period of time, usually when your brain is in theta state, right when you're waking up and when you're going to sleep at night, that your brain is willing to accept new programming, new neural networks being formed. And there are some other times throughout the day, obviously, like this, the idea of neuroplasticity. But the morning and the evening are the main times where you are able to accept new things. So you kind of tap back into, you know, popularly referred to as the time when you're, again, a seven-year-old. And it's during this time that you can tap into the truth of who you are, the truth of why you think the things you think, the truth of what's implanted in your brain already subconsciously and how you run on autopilot, how that mechanism that's subconsciously running, this talks about in this book called Psycho-Cybernetics, if you're interested in this topic more. But the thing here is, the whole point of me bringing this whole story up is simply to remind you of which voice is true and which voice is a lie. And as you approach your day, as you approach your week, your month, you're planning your goals out, you're trying to affirm something in your life, or you're just silent waiting for somebody else to affirm something in your life, which is a dangerous thing, you're going to feel stuck eventually. Right? So anytime that you've done something wrong, you feel queasy, you feel uneasy. If you have practiced intermittent fasting, if you've practiced meditation, daily prayer, anything like that, that requires you to get in touch with your humanity, i.e. your bodily functions, your circadian rhythm, inflammation in your body, spikes in your blood sugar. Like, these sorts of things are just specific bodily reactions to what the world is showing it. You know, the world shows me one of my favorite pies. I love like strawberry shortcakes and ice cream. And I love ice cream. Ice cream is one of my favorite things in life. But the world shows me ice cream, my body shows it inflammation. When my body shows it inflammation, my blood, my glucose levels spike and my insulin levels react because and start basically secreting fat. And I think that's the way it works. I always get those confused and I don't like getting into the details. All I know and all that really matters in that context about these health things is you need to pay attention to when you feel good and when you don't feel good. And we all know, like I mentioned from the quote earlier, and you all know what you're supposed to do. So go do it. So as you approach big decisions, whether it be personal life decisions like dating, marriage, moving in with someone, moving out or moving, doing long distance stuff, being friends with this person, not being friends with this person, all these micro decisions that we make in this temporary life, in this temporary planet, or in this temporary existence, we start to realize that, oh, wait, there are things, there are indicators of my spirit telling me what my body is not really wanting to hear or does want to hear. Your spirit always knows. Your spirit always knows. And as an artist, your job and your service to the community, your service to the world is to tap into that spiritual sense. You need to be in lockstep with your spirit. You need to be in lockstep with your soul. And as Elon Musk tweeted like probably a couple months ago, very simply he put, and I really appreciate it, he said, you don't have a soul, you are a soul. You don't have a soul, you are a soul. So be in touch with that soul. So two thoughts I'll leave you with. The thought number one is this. Your body is scientifically wired to resist. There are two parts to your body, two parts to how your brain functions that we can't model the whole brain. We don't really know what's going on at the atom level, at the molecular level, at the atomic level or the molecular level of neurons. So even if you can model a neuron and connect this neuron to that neuron, it doesn't really do much for you because we don't know the individual makeup of an individual brain. It would take us forever to model just one brain, much longer than we have to really glean any insights. But some things that we do know about the cortex and we do know about the limbic system. Now, these things aren't, I know that the limbic system and the cortex are not necessarily parallel in function and in scale or in relation to the human anatomy, but it's key because we all know, or if you're new to this, then I'm telling you maybe for the first time, and that's a joy. So thank you for indulging me in this. Most people know that the limbic system is our fight or flight response. It's our animalistic response. It's what connects us to the inner homo sapien, the inner Australopithecus, and sort of just the primitive way of thinking about our existence, if you believe and subscribe to the science of evolutionary biology, if you're into that whole sort of thing. So that's the limbic system. And what it does is that when a lion's running at you, it tells you to run away before you really can assess whether you will survive if you stand still or not. So that's pretty much the fight or flight, like I mentioned again. The cortex, this is the ability to retain information, to store information. This is like the hard drive of your brain, the recall of your brain. This is having to do with memory. And the interesting thing about memory is that it also informs your limbic system. So if you are holding on to a bunch of memories and you're holding on to a bunch of thoughts, and whether or not the thing that's in front of you is true, if you saw a lion 20 years ago, and you see something that's in the shape of a lion, your cortex informs your limbic system to react as if it's a lion. Hopefully you're following me. So if you are reacting and you're allowing yourself to be moved physically, mentally, emotionally by these neurotransmitters and these systems, these reactive systems, think how all over the place you're going to be. Think about how all over the place you're going to be. You're going to be all over the place. And I know I just said that over and over again, but you will be. And we've all felt that way. There's a particular type of meditation I like to do just to check in with my body. you know, if you sit in just Indian style on the floor, or if you sit in a chair and you close your eyes and you go through your normal, whatever you do, TM, you do Vipassana, you do, you know, breath work, mindfulness, anything like that. There's one visualization technique I like to use that has been extremely helpful for me. And it has to do with just imagining. We've all seen these Zen garden, like stacking of the stones. And most usually it's representative of the stacking of our chakras. So if you try to imagine stacking the stones, you realize how detailed, how you need to adjust your body, how do you adjust your attitude, how do you adjust all of the things to do that keep you off balance in order to keep those stones stacked one on top of the other without any extra support, which is possible and it is cosmic. So try that. So that's your body is scientifically wired to resist. Thought number two, it's important to notice the nuance of your fears. Be true, be real about what you're actually afraid of versus what you think you're afraid of. Don't kid yourself thinking that friction or a speed bump is a stop sign. Don't mistake a speed bump for a stop sign. Don't mistake a speed bump for a dead end. There's a lot of cop-outs on the way to your purpose. There's a lot of pathways that aren't your purpose. So just make sure you're keeping pride to the side, staying humble, staying committed, focused. Because you're at service to the world. World needs you. Till next time, this seems like something you like. If you were digging this, then check out educated-guest.com. Subscribe to our newsletter there. New things coming soon. It's been a rough year, but an optimistic year. Again, your worldview shapes your world. So depending on which one of those statements you just latched onto, that might tell you a lot about how you view the world. And you might want to inform your future decisions based on that. Just as needed. Thanks for your time. We'll talk soon. Peace.